Blog Talk Radio.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, December 3rd, 2022. December is here. Therefore, Jesus is coming. I'm your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host this morning, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have a spirit-filled lesson today, so let's get right into it. Announcements. Please keep this ministry, Amazing Grace Ministries, in your prayers as we undergo changes and reconstructuring. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois 60643. Thank you to those that have sent in your donations. They are well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you this new year. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584. Or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. We are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and we have exciting lessons. So please tune in. And to connect to this lesson live, the link is http://tobtara.com/s/12172251. The lesson explained. Celebrating the first week of Advent and now going into the second week, Advent beginning Sunday. Advent started Sunday, November 27, and it ends Saturday, December 24th. Advent is the period of four Sundays and weeks before Christmas, or sometimes from the 1st of December to Christmas Day. Advent means coming in Latin. This is the coming of Jesus into the world. Christians use the four Sundays and weeks of Advent to prepare and remember the real meaning of Christmas. Advent is a period of spiritual preparation in which many Christians make themselves ready for the coming or birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrating Advent typically involves a season of prayer, fasting, and repentance, followed by anticipation, hope, and joy. It is a time for preparing our hearts to behold our Savior, the prophesied Messiah. It is a time of reflection and for teaching our children about Jesus' virgin birth, life, death, and resurrection. May this season draw our hearts back to reflect on what has been done and propel us onward into a new year of expectation and readiness for his next glorious appearing. We, the believers, we celebrate Advent not only by thanking God for Christ's first coming to earth as a baby, but also for his presence among us today through the Holy Spirit and in the preparation and anticipation of his final coming at the end of time. We have a word on today that will captivate your mind, illuminate your heart, and lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to great peace, to a greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we prepare for the upcoming holidays and new year. The theme for this month of December is Celebrating at His Born. The lesson for first Saturday in December is this is the last month of the year, God prepares the way. Our text is coming from Luke 1:13-20, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered, said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak until the day that this thing shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Isaiah 7:14, and this is the New King James Version. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Definition. The word believe in the text means to have faith, trust in, to think to be true, or place confidence in. Gabriel was a unique angel within the angelic company in the Bible and throughout human history. Gabriel had made only a few earthly appearances. He brought glorious, life-changing news each time he appeared. He is a messenger of God and archangel. Zacharias or Zechariah, was a commitment servant of God, a devoted priest, and the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah came from Abiah's line. His name meant Jehovah has remembered. Elizabeth was Zechariah's wife, the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus, a God-fearing woman and the mother of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the prophet of God and forerunner of Christ, charged with preparing the way for Christ's ministry. The gospel reveals the birth of Jesus in three phases. However, in this lesson, we will be discussing some of the events in the preliminary phase. The sum of the preliminary events was A, the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, and you can read that Luke 1, 5 through 22. Mary visited Elizabeth, that's Luke 1, 39 through 56. The birth of John the Baptist, that's Luke 1, 57 through 80. The angel appears to Joseph, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. I'm going to give you some history on this lesson. The first chapter of Luke established the events that will be involving Zacharias, or you may say Zechariah. It takes place in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. In Luke chapter 1, Herod here was referred to as a someone to fear. For Herod the Great sat in a position of tremendous power. He was ruthless, evil, and paranoid. He was a notorious murderer. So to call for the death of baby Jesus would be extremely easy for him. Herod the Great was not a descendant of Israel, but of Jacob's brother Esau. Therefore, he was an Edomite. He was known for his spectacular building programs, but even more so for his paranoid cruelty, which drove him to execute many, including members of his own family. Although Zechariah, along with his wife Elizabeth, was righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That's Luke 1 and 6. Most of the people to whom he ministered to were only religiously ritualistic and superficial. Operating in the family business, Zacharias was a priest because all male descendants of Aaron was priests. There were too many priests for the quality of work to be done, even in the Old Testament time. David, therefore, divided them into 24 divisions, and each division served for 2 weeks each year. Zechariah belonged to division Abiah, Luke 1 and 5, 1 Chronicles 24, 1 through 19. While Zechariah performed his priestly duties, God showed him that his prayers would now be answered. Elizabeth would have a child to be named John, who would become a special messenger for God to his people. John would be equipped by God's Spirit for his ministry and would live under the restrictions of a person set apart from God. Zechariah's encounter with the angel Gabriel occurred in the temple in Jerusalem. That is significant because Jerusalem was the religious headquarters of the Jews. Many Jew and Jewish proselytes made their usual yearly pilgrimage to the holy city, regardless of where they were in the world. Devout Jews were rigid in their beliefs. However, the problems were that in some cases they were rigid but wrong. This truth was seen in how they viewed a wife's childbearing capability. It was a traditional belief that a wife's inability to give birth was a sure sign that God had cursed her. Not only was the barren woman shunned, but also her family was shamed. The angel's announcement to Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would have a son was joyful news. But it appears Zechariah's heart and dampened his spirit because was focused on the fact that he and Elizabeth were in their old age, and for her to bear a child would be humanly impossible. He should have remembered that with God, nothing is impossible. We have been talking about the healing power of God. We must believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly according to our faith, which we have in us, in our heart, to believe. Although Zechariah had the faith to pray, he did not have the faith to believe the answers to his prayer. As a chastisement for his lack of faith, he became dumb for a period, Luke 1, 18 through 22. God didn't answer, however, withdrew his promise. When Zechariah's time to serve at the temple was over, he returned to his home and soon Elizabeth became pregnant. Luke 1:23 through 25, and this is the King James Version. As it came to pass that as soon as the day of his ministration was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus had the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. From the very beginning of his gospel, Luke reminds us of an even earlier beginning, the beginning of the story of God's relationship with his people Israel. Luke places his story within this larger story of faith, the story that began with God called Abram, Abraham, and Sarai, Sarah, to leave their homeland and go to a place that God will show them. He promised them a child and many descendants. It is a sweet consolation and blessed assurance to know that God's promises are faithful and steadfast. People may be unpredictable, unstable, or unreliable, but we can trust God and his promises without reservation. God's promises take time to come to pass, but we can be confident that God is reliable and certain with every promise that he makes. It is a reality that sometimes we pray for something for a long time, a long, long time. We pray for the salvation of a spouse or a child. We pray for a calling or ministry. We pray that God would bring that special person to us. But after years of heartfelt prayers, we give up on or get discouragement. Throughout the unusual childbearing years, Zechariah and Elizabeth had likely prayed many passionate prayers for a son. It had probably been years since they had given up hope and stopped believing that God would grant their request. But how many of you know that God has not forgotten you? In the midnight hour when you have cried, prayed, and prayed, God has heard you. It is the intent of Satan to make you give up by creating fear and doubt. But I have come to tell you that Jesus will fix it. Hallelujah. So stand strong in the liberty whereby Christ has made us free and know that God is working it out. Here is the joy of this season. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. However, as believers, we know that Jesus has already come. Therefore, because he has came and he died on the cross, we will make it, if you can only believe. Mark 9:22-24, King James Version says, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. The more we worship God, then the more joy we will have. The word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We gain strength when we enter into the presence of the Lord, when we press our way in and give thanks, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, and even as we go into this holiday season. Luke 2:10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Nehemiah 8:10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Psalms 28:6-8. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. In conclusion, God reminds us through his word that he will always hold true to the promises he has made. God's word is certain and true. Our dependence upon that which is spoken has found reassurance for perpetual generations. Genesis 9:12-17 is a constant reminder of God's promises towards humanity of what will never happen. The writer of the book of Luke reveals to us a glorious reminder from God of what will happen and the joys that are wrapped up in the unveiling of promises one after another. John the Baptist was spoken of by the prophet of the Old Testament as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. Luke shows us how God strategically implemented each stage of his promise by providing those responsible in the process of his planning. He points us the comfort we have in knowing how it all comes together perfectly. We should live each moment as willing participants in God's kingdom, serving faithfully, adhering to his message, and avoiding personal faith falls. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we begin to ask you for anything, we just want to thank you for everything because, God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, the great I am. Hallelujah. Lord God, you are the beginning and the ending, and with you on this morning, God. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We knew our names, and we knew that we wanted to come and listen to the blog talk on this morning, God. We thank you for that. Lord God, then we just ask you to save us, Lord God. Save us like the Bible say, Lord God. Forgive us, God, for any sins we have committed knowingly and unknowingly. And then, Lord God, we just thank you for you prepares the way. You sent your only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, we don't know where we would be on today. Oh, God, you are great, and your mercies endure for all generations. Thank you for being mindful of your people. Continue to look on us. Continue to keep us in the center of your will. Use us for your glory, God. Get your glory, God. Hallelujah. Look on the listeners, one by one, name by name. Look on our leaders, our special assistant superintendent, Dr. Lady Gibbs, the elder and evangelist Johnson, Dr. Carey, God. Continue to direct her path in all of her endeavors. Mother Esther Moore, God, Mother Florida, hallelujah, Mother Garnett, Mother Luckett, Mother Carpenter, Mother Carey, Mother Gibbs, God, Mother Norman, Mother Maxine, the Mother's Board, God, Sister Christine in Texas, Mother McCall, all the missionaries, the evangelists, the elders, the ministers, the deacons, Dad Ellis, the missionary boy, God, the ushers, musicians, Sister Pat, Lady Shelton, Sister Peacock, God, Robert, look on Lady Williams, God, Lady Stevens, the Belochi, God, our youth, the whole household of faith, God, look on our children and our grandchildren. Thank you, Lord. Lord, be with the bereaved families on today, God. Encourage their hearts, the Bradleys, the Pattersons, the Watlow family, God. Keep us in the sense of your will. Do for us that which only you can do in Jesus' name. Now, God, thank you for hearing us every time we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where the president and CEO is the Reverend Dr. Maria Carey, and your co-host is yours truly, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week. Dr. Carey will be returning, same time. And remember, God is still in control. Wear your mask, wash your hands, and know that nothing is too hard for God. Have a wonderful day on purpose, and be blessed.